This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Drop a beat.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Have not heard from Kirk Cousins' sit-down interview yet. Guess who got him? Bussin' with the Boys pod.
Kirk Cousins, the Falcons, there's no beef involved.
No, and I don't think there can be. I don't think it's helpful. Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and...
Earlier on the show, Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. Coming up, legendary Hollywood producer Jerry Bruckheimer from Apple TV's Constellation. Actor Noomi Rapaz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're going to have a serious pop culture chat with a man who's put so many movies and television shows in front of your face over your entire lives. It's not funny. We've lost track of all the movies and TV shows that Jerry Bruckheimer has successfully put on his screen, big and small. He's about to join us here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Had a great chat with DeMeco Ryans. The NFL schedules are being released in a few hours. I will be straight up with you because I'm a mission critical employee, as it was referred to in the non-disclosure agreement I was forced to sign so I could actually see the schedules I'm talking about for a three-hour show. I'm so glad that I signed this, and now I'm seeing on Twitter everything get leaked anyway.
You disclosed some info, though. So,
which is Dallas is hosting a Thanksgiving game.
I had no idea.
That's amazing.
Thanks for breaking this.
First one. TJ, congrats.
That just shows you how mission critical I am.
I had no idea.
Are you going to go?
But at least I'm sticking to the NDA.
They've turducken
here on the RES.
Well done. Well done.
I have seen the schedule. I haven't even said a word about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't tell us.
I won't tell you anything.
You never tell us anything. No.
Because I'm actually trying to do something with my colleagues that works for the NFL Network.
I'm going
to
tell you. Not even just that.
I'm trying to put something on.
I'm going to tell you.
You do a TV show yesterday that a friend of mine hits me up. By the way, he said you crushed.
What, on After Midnight?
Yeah, he was like, he's a class act. He goes, he crushed it. He goes,
thank you.
Just...
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Hey.
Yeah, you never tell us anything.
There's the After Midnight photograph, a selfie I took.
Good one.
That's me. That's Catherine Blanford, pardon me, and the great Bert Kreischer, Taylor Tomlinson, the host.
Nice.
And I'm just glad that Bert and Catherine were still willing to take a happy selfie with me after I destroyed the competition last night.
Did you win?
Wrecked it.
My friend Eric said there was
I lapped the field.
Mic drop moment yesterday.
Wow.
For whatever it was.
I had a mic drop moment.
Something about FTW. He goes, it was a mic drop.
Oh yeah, when I won it. Yeah, it was great. It's a fun show.
Attaboy.
Yeah. And it was great with Bert and Catherine. I had not met before, the winning trophy were two. Heels of a loaf of bread.
Oh, a heel.
Yeah.
We know you love those.
There are two ends, let me tell you something. They have no idea.
That's part of the PBJ.
I didn't want to go down that wormhole. I almost did that. Because they want you to talk. They want you to mix it up with everybody. Uh-huh. That's what they instruct you to do.
That's what you do.
And that's what I do professionally.
Yes,
correct.
Sir, I'm looking at you.
And so I was going to say, listen, you have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I am, if I could choose any part of the bread, I would choose the ends.
100%. Grilled cheese heel sandwich.
Oh, my God. They're great. They're thicker than the regular slices. And then on top of it, you know, what I do every day is I put almond butter on a piece of Ezekiel bread toast.
Yes.
And then I'll put bananas or all sorts of fruit on it. And when you have the end, it's kind of like a bowl. Like the ends of the loaf kind of curve up,
it's
and it kind of helps keep anything you put on it in within the confines.
It's a bowl. It's
I never looked at it like that.
Yeah,
it's like a bowl.
Yeah, so I'll take heels anytime.
So and you got that as a trophy?
They gave it. They had it in a plastic bag. They handed it to me after I won. Spoiler alert. And then I Gronk spiked it.
Did you really?
I did.
You broke it?
No.
Oh.
No, it was you know, unbreakable.
Oh, okay.
And then they took it, and I haven't seen it since. I don't have it.
Well, it's going to end up here anyway, because Susie is not going to let that in the crib. So.
No, that's no, I don't have it. I didn't leave with it.
They're going to send it to you, I'm sure.
I hope so, because I want it. I earned it. That was fun, though. I just love being in front of a live audience, and a couple times, you know, they want you to tell it, you know, the joke longer, mm-hmm. a little bit, draw it out a little bit, just to, you know, come up with your answer. And I kept on trying to do the door open punchline that Jerry Seinfeld talked about a couple weeks ago. Like, that's the greatest moment for construct for a comedian, door open punchline. So I used that once when they said, what are you not known for? And I said, hair. Door open, punchline.
Hair.
Hair.
Hair. One line.
Not known for it. Used to be the Wisp.
It's great.
But anyway, I'm glad the word of mouth got out.
Yeah, for sure.
From the Paramount lot.
Was Bert's keeping his shirt on?
Well, that was the discussion beforehand. They gave Catherine and I a choice beforehand to shoot something beforehand that they would scroll in. To bet a number of points, because it's a points total system, bet a number of points, sort of, you know, double Jeopardy style, or no.
Final Jeopardy?
No, why am I blanking on the name of it? The,
Daily Double.
Right, so, and you get to throw a certain number of points.
Oh, I see.
So I bet that Bert would take off his shirt.
That's a good bet.
Well, that's
500 points.
What's a slam dunk?
Yeah. Well, no, I said it's on CBS. So the question is, would CBS make Bert sort of stay more within the lines? Or will it just force Bert to be more, go full Kreischer? And I bet full Kreischer.
Before midnight. Before midnight.
Yes.
Different show.
Taylor said that the shirt, you know, looked weird on him. It made him look more presidential. He took it off, and so I called Bert the third nipple candidate. Nice. Which is how you win two ends of a loaf of bread. That's how you win the heels, bro. That's how you win the heels. So that was last night, or after midnight, or today, I guess.
Yeah, this morning.
Hey. So while I'm doing that, I'm checking on the old app to see how the Knicks are doing against the Pacers, okay? Because the taping ran into the first quarter. And man, oh man, this is why you don't treat the NBA playoffs like it's the NFL, where, the latest result is exactly the narrative that's going to play out in the end, and it's something that's going to last all season, all playoffs, or what have you. Game to game. Knicks looked totally lost, totally beaten, and then they go home, and they do what they've done, which is with spit polish, glue, scotch tape, lean on Jalen Brunson. 44 points for Brunson, 18 of 35 shooting, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 43 minutes. That's the key thing here for the Knicks are the minutes played. The only other Knick for 40 or more minutes was Miles McBride, Deuce, who Tom Thibodeau put into the starting lineup last night.
Yep.
Hart played 39, Hartenstein 31, just 30 big ragu minutes where he put in just 8 points, didn't make a single three. If you told me before the game that Dante DiVincenzo would have 8 points and 8 3-point attempts, none of them going, I thought that would be the end of that. But he also went at Miles Turner, too. They had a little bit of a moment where he just, like, started barking at somebody way taller than him and then backpedaled, hold me back.
T.J. McConnell and him. They were wolfing last night. Liked it.
Well, that's what they've been doing all series long. But Jalen Brunson going full Reggie Jackson, 44, in New York City. My gosh. And God bless Alec Burks, man.
Yeah, he came up big for
23 minutes, 18 points. And that's what the Knicks are doing. And now they go to Indiana for game 6, and Jalen Brunson is counseling what I basically has been saying. It's one game, you got to turn the page. It's a completely new day, and that's what he said last night.
One thing that I've learned in the playoffs is that one game does not have any effect on the next. And so no matter what the situation is, whether you lose by one or lose by 30, and so it has nothing to do with next game. So honestly, once we leave here tonight, you know, this is over with. It's all about how do we prepare for game 6.
And you want to know proof of how it's going to be a different game? Do you know Tyrese Halliburton took only 9 shots?
Yeah, he was kind of MIA.
4 from 3?
Yeah.
What happened? How does that happen?
I don't know. There's about a weird
Do you think
superstar.
He'll have 9 shots in the first quarter alone on 6 in game 6?
So. I mean, is
I mean, he's got no. There's no tomorrow. After
yeah, that, is know, he banged so. Up? Like, I don't know what's going on with that last
Dude,
night. That was weird.
I don't know how he's banged up. If he is, guess what? Join the party because the rest yeah. of their opponents banged up.
Yep.
Because I don't think, again, OG Anunoby's coming back in this series. They'll be lucky if they advance. That'll be there for the Eastern Conference yeah. Finals. But if there's even a remote chance of Anunoby returning, say, for Game 6, it's because finally, in this series,
yeah, extra day off?
There's an extra day
oh,
off.
Oh, wow. So you can play Friday?
It will not be Thursday night.
Wow.
It will be a two-game, a two-day respite in between games for the first time all series long. And to thank for that, believe it or not, there's only one person to thank.
Taylor Swift?
You're close.
Oh.
Caitlin Clark. Because the Indiana Fever have the home floor on Thursday night for the WNBA nice. Home opener for Caitlin Clark.
How about that?
So you want to talk about a two-day extravaganza nice. In Indianapolis, Indiana. Caitlin Clark with her home debut for the Indiana Fever on Thursday night and then game 6 between the Knicks and the Pacers on that floor on Friday night.
Love it.
And I mean, obviously, I'm shorthanding it saying it's Caitlin Clark. The Indiana Fever were going to play on Thursday, May 16th, in their home opener against last year's WNBA runners-up, the New York Liberty, on Thursday night. May 16th, no matter what, whether it's Caitlin Clark or not. But they're doing it, and they're on that floor. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, Liberty Fever on Thursday, Knicks.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Pacers on Friday.
That's awesome.
It's kind of cool. And Caitlin Clark made her WNBA debut last night in the land of the Mohegan Sun.
Well done.
In Connecticut. And the Connecticut Sun kind of taught her a little bit of a lesson. It was wild to see Caitlin Clark in the role of rookie last night.
And struggling.
She had 20 points. She didn't score. She didn't get on the board until midway through the second quarter.
Yeah. With a layup, which I don't think anyone had on their bingo card.
And she had a night of 33% shooting, 5 of 15 from the floor, 4 of 11 from 3, although she did find her stride in the second half, 3 of 4
yeah.
after halftime. The double-double, you don't want to have 20 points, 10 turnovers. 10 turnovers as Alyssa Thomas led the way for the Sun with her 12th career triple-double. This was Caitlin Clark after her first professional game that counts performance in the WNBA.
Thought it was physical. I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't like the best start in the first half for myself. Getting into foul trouble, and then you got to sit on the bench and try to come back into the game and get into a little bit of a flow. But obviously, too many turnovers. That's not going to get the job done, but I think just a lot of things to learn from. I didn't think we played well, and we had cut it to 6 in the third quarter. So I think that's a positive you look at. Like, we really did not play a good game, but we were right there at moments, and then it kind of got away from us at the end of the third and fourth quarter. Didn't have the greatest start. So I think just a lot to learn from. You know, it's the first one. There's going to be good ones. There's going to be bad ones. And, you know, like we said in the locker room, like, we play on Thursday. You got to learn from it and move on and be ready to go.
I mean, and the page will have to be turned again Thursday against the Liberty at home, then in Brooklyn on Saturday, and then a rematch against the Sun Monday in Indianapolis. You know, how often did she play 4 games in a week in Iowa?
Ooh.
Like, never.
Probably never.
Nope.
Here we go.
There you go. Got to turn the page
quick. Pro basketball.
Pro basketball. And that's what happens when you join the team that gets the first pick. I mean, they only had 13 wins last year. So they're going to have games like this where they struggle and she turns it over a lot and shots aren't falling. Battle through it. Move on.
Indiana was like the basketball hub last night, though, because on one TV I'm watching the Pacers Knicks, the other TV I'm watching the Fever Sun, and it just hit me like in the first quarter, like, wow, like Indiana is where it's at right now. Yeah. So,
oh yeah,
who knows?
That's what I said. Thursday night,
Thursday, but I mean last night as well.
And like, on behalf of OG Anunoby's hamstring and whatever the hell's going on with Brunson's foot, that one night looks really like he's limping, and the next night he scores 44. You know, and on behalf of the gas tanks of Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart and Isaiah Hartenstein, I say thank you, Caitlin Clark, for your home debut on Thursday night. The Knicks actually get 2 days off. And they, you know, that, and by the way, that might be the difference maker. Game 7, by the way, would be Sunday in Madison Square Garden if the Pacers hold serve.
Feels like we're getting Game 7, right? Kind of, and the home teams have dominated in this series.
Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep doing this? Why?
I don't disagree necessarily.
This is how I'm feeling right now.
I understand that, but this is how many times it just flips. It flips. It just completely flips.
This has been a home team dominated series. Yeah, I don't know.
I know, and the Knicks were going to face the Celtics after two games. It was definitely going to happen, and face the winner of the Timberwolves Thunder series. That was it.
Like, well, that's how we felt right then.
Smash cut to like 4 days ago.
I'm just saying. I mean, things
5 days ago.
Things change, but at 10:15 Pacific, feels like it's going 7.
You know, I mean, maybe let's talk about this real quick. And then Jerry Bruckheimer will come out. So when the Knicks and the Pacers are coming down to it in Game 3, right? And Andrew Nembhard has the ball in his hands and the shot clock's winding down, and he steps into what looked like a 30-something footer, right?
So far.
A 90-footer,
yeah,
right?
So far.
And he jars it. But right before that moment, okay, because I think that was on Friday night? Yeah, it was on Friday night.
Yeah.
Okay. At that moment in time, it certainly was, Knicks are going to win. They're shorthanded on the road. They played a gutsy game. They're going to take on the Celtics. It's going to happen. Okay? Even though, because the Celtics had just, did they win game 3 the Thursday night?
Yes.
No, they had just lost.
Well, they had lost game 2.
Okay, they just lost game 2.
Yeah. After they looked terrible. And
right. But the Knicks
made everything.
So the Knicks were going to definitely get through, and the Celtics were going to be in a bruising 7-game series. And the Thunder and the Mavericks were tied at 1 game apiece. But it was still the world of the Thunder and the Mavericks being the Thunder getting through, and the Nuggets were just beginning to maybe start a comeback. Look at where we are now. Don't do it anymore. Stop with the business of we're going to get a game 7.
All right, Average Eisen Show poll. More likely to go 7.
Oh, my gosh.
Knicks, Pacers, Wolves, Nuggets.
Do me a favor. I like it better when you sit here and you're going to start to say the reason why the Knicks won last night is not because of the 44 from Brunson or the fact that Tyrese Halliburton only took 9 shots. It's because Scott Foster was refereeing the game. And you want the big market when you're the NBA, and you got your guy getting the job done against a small market. I'd prefer when you wear the tinfoil hat more than
when
you say,
gonna start
this is going to go 7.
Referee jerseys, because I would buy the Foster 48. Why do I know what number his referee jersey is?
Okay.
We shouldn't.
So if you,
you know what I mean?
If you get the
Foster 48.
Would that come with the tinfoil hat?
It obviously should.
That's what you should do next. Yeah. That's your Halloween costume
free
with Cage.
Shipping. And
you're going
free
this Halloween. You're going to Scott Foster. I'll get you the black pants.
Oh right.
Okay.
Oh,
and the whistle.
No, it comes with a whistle. It got to come with.
Okay,
a whistle.
It comes with the black pants.
Attached to the shirt.
One size fits most in the plastic bag that snaps closed at the top.
All right.
And then inside, it's a tinfoil hat you get to wear too.
Great. Well, he's doing Friday's game. Guarantee that.
You think so? Will you call in from the
When the referee announcement is posted on the NBA official site,
Kevin Rahm will allow you to get on your phone at Sawgrass because you're a sports host.
I will call in and say, look who's refereeing.
Use your
sports
phone
host.
On the course.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a rule?
I think you should
celebrity
sports crank. That's what you should be known as, sports
crank.
Call him up. Say, change it that Rich says crank. You're not sports host. You're sports crank.
Wow.
See, last year you offended Rich by calling yourself an actor, and this year you offended him by calling yourself a co-host.
Yeah, yeah. He can't. Yeah.
Jerry Bruckheimer awaits, gents.
Yes, let's go.
Let's get him out of the green room. He's a man. Yeah. He's not to be trifled with. It's a legend.
Not.
What a great movie that's coming to a theater near you called Young Woman in the Sea. Jerry's here to talk about that and his career next. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, we just saw a clip of Young Woman in the Sea in theaters on the last day of this month of May, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer here on the Rich Eisen Show. We just saw that clip of Daisy Ridley trying to swim through red jellyfish. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a film this is, sir.
Yeah, it's really emotional. It's the highest scoring movie I've ever made.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's so emotional. And the story between her and her sister and all the things she had to go through just to get to swim the channel, forget that she did it. And it took her second attempt to actually make it. And she beat the men's record by 2 hours.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
And spoiler alert, Trudy Ederle lived till she was 98 years old. So how does a story like this wind up on your desk, Jerry?
Jeff Nathanson, who's a writer that worked with us on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fabulous writer. And he was looking for something for his daughters to watch. He had young daughters. And so he's surfing through the channels, can't find anything. So he goes to a used bookstore and finds this book about this girl. And he brings it to us, and we love it. And we said, we'll try to set it up. So we set it up at one studio. They put it in turnaround. We set it up at another studio. They put it in turnaround. And finally, Disney took it on. It took us 7 years to come and sit in the seat and tell you about this movie. So it was a long journey, but we finally got there. And it was originally just going to be streaming, but it turned out so well that Disney is putting it in theaters and in a lot of, like 20 markets, so for awards consideration, because it's a beautiful film. And when you see the movie, at the end of the movie, we show you the parade that she had down Fifth Avenue, which is the biggest parade ever for an athlete. And when you see it, you won't believe it. And you've never heard of her. This girl got lost in time. She was an Olympic swimmer. I think she held just about every record possible before she went to the Olympics. And she didn't do great in the Olympics. I think she won one medal for the relay. So she came back very depressed and didn't know what she was going to do and decided that she always used to swim around the pier in Coney Island. So she was used to open water swimming. And she said, well, maybe I'll take this on.
Yeah, born to immigrant parents in New York City in 1905, and you know, the first woman to successfully swim the English Channel on August 6, 1926. This marks the 100th anniversary of, this is perfectly timed, of Trudy competing in both the Olympic trials in Indianapolis and the 24 Olympics in Paris, and the 2024 Olympics are in Paris. Wow. I mean, and Daisy Ridley is fantastic. This is, I believe, one of her first major roles post-Star Wars trilogy for her, so that's pretty huge.
Yeah, and she trained for 3 months.
She did.
With Olympic swimmers to get the kind of the stroke and the endurance to be able to do what she did.
Would you call this a sports movie, though? I mean, it doesn't involve a sport. It does involve an athletic endeavor.
It's really a story about these two sisters who go against all odds
right.
to do what the one sister is really good at, to overcome all kinds of adversity. And there were a lot of them. I mean, they didn't want her to do it. They thought women were inferior. What happened really was her mother, who was obviously a German immigrant, and in the turn of the century, when she was about 5 or 6 years old, there was a ferry in Long Island that went down in fairly shallow water. And it was the biggest disaster prior to 9/11. There were so many women and children who drowned during that mm-hmm. that ferry going down. And the reason they drowned, it wasn't considered the right thing to do for women to swim. It was uncouth, was unladylike. And so she got up the morning, she read that, and she sits at the dinner table and says, my girls are going to learn how to swim. And the father says, absolutely not. It's not right. Can't do it. But she persevered. She raised money herself so she'd give the kids swimming lessons. And the one girl really took to the water.
And the film Young Woman in the Sea, available in theaters on May 31st. So, but for somebody who has put films like Remember the Titans and Glory Road onto the screen, what does, in your estimation, make for a good sports film, Jerry Bruckheimer?
I think overcoming the odds. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, it's a triumphant thing when somebody does something that you normally don't see or can't do. It's like, remember the Titans. These two coaches didn't get along, and they had a championship team. It's the same thing with Glory Road.
Mm-hmm.
The West Texas team, you know, won a national championship against Kentucky. Unheard of. I like to tell stories that you've never heard about people who succeed and should be remembered. Now, the thing that I like doing is educating people and entertaining them. And all three of these movies are extremely entertaining, and especially this one. This one's a triumph of the will.
And again, like I said, it's in theaters on May 31st. Was Denzel always attached to Remember the Titans?
He became attached.
How did that happen? Did you have something to do with that?
Yeah, sure. We sent him the script, and he loved it. He's a huge football fan, and I'm a great sports fan. Loves basketball.
Right.
I think he played football. In fact,
his son did. Yeah, his son
played
had
for the Rams.
Yeah, before he became a dynamite actor of his own right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He tried. He had a cup of coffee with the Rams, and then I think found his proper endeavor.
Yeah.
So. It was just a script that you sent Denzel, and he's just like, I'm all in on that.
But with Denzel, he is so meticulous. He goes through every single line of the script to make sure it's authentic and real, has notes. He comes in, it looks like a script. You know the story, my dog ate the homework?
Never. Yeah,
right. Sure. Well, that's what a script looks like. There's coffee stains. I mean, you can tell he studied it and studied it and studied it, and then comes up with these brilliant ideas to make everything better. They're really good actors. Really put their time in to making their movies great. They just don't show up and say, tell me what I have to say.
I mean, this is on the top of many people's lists of their favorite sports movies. I mean, there's always an argument. There's, you know, Hoosiers.
Right.
There's The Natural is another one. Obviously, Field of Dreams
right.
is one. Bull Durham, if you just want to go straight comedy. But this story and the acting and the emotions of this movie puts it on the top of a lot of people's lists, Jerry.
No, it was fun to make. All these movies are great to make. In fact, we have 3 movies coming out this summer. We have one that's on video on demand right now called Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
We had the great Henry Cavill in studio.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a terrific
movie. It was like a Guy Ritchie's Dirty Dozen type
exactly.
look at things. I that's terrific. I love that movie.
And then we have Bad Boys coming out in June. And then
Did you have to twist any arms to make that happen?
It took a while.
How long did it take?
That was, I think it was 3 years since the last one. But we have Beverly Hills Cop with Eddie Murphy. That's coming out also in July, I think July 3rd. And that took, I don't know, 30 years or something crazy to get it done.
Why return to Beverly Hills Cop, in your estimation?
Because he's so great, Eddie. You want to see him in that role. People loved him in that role, and you want to see him do it all over again. And it turned out great. It's an emotional story. It's very funny. So we have a good summer.
Yeah, you certainly do. Mm-hmm. Jerry Bruckheimer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is there an audition in your career that you sat in on for somebody that had yet to break out, that person, man, woman, actor, actress, conducted themselves so amazingly well that you said, that's a star?
Will Smith.
Really?
He walked in my office, and this guy's over 6 feet tall. He's imposing. He's got this great smile. He's just enthusiasm all over the place. And he was a young actor. I think he'd done one movie. He had a TV show.
Fresh Prince?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But he was a movie star. And I bet my career on it. It was a real fight to get him in the movie. They wanted Arsenio Hall to play the part.
Which film is this again?
This is Bad Boys.
The original Bad Boys.
The original Bad Boys.
They wanted Arsenio Hall.
Wow. Right, because he was the hottest guy.
With Martin Lawrence?
Martin wasn't attached at that point. He came in later. Wow.
Okay. And so what happened next?
We won. and Arsenio turned it down, so okay. That helped me.
Sure. But so you, Will Smith, did somebody say you got to see him, or you saw Fresh Prince and you're like, bring him in, or what?
Somebody sent him up to me, an agent called and said, you got to meet Will. And I said, sure, love the show. And he turned up, and he's just fun to be around. He lights up a room. You know, certain people walk into your office, mm-hmm. and they just have a command and something that's a life force that you love, and that's Will.
Well, I got to tell you, there are few people who I can say this about, that he's not bad in anything.
You're right.
Sometimes the films might not be successful, but it's not because of him or his performance. I can't recall anything that he's ever done where it's just like, yeah, he just didn't have it. Literally in everything, whether it's comedy or not.
Well, he's just like Denzel. They work their scripts. They're involved in every step of the way.
Yeah. And you said that's a star who's leaving my office. And you went went to ground to make sure he's in your film.
That's right.
My gosh. And now here it's 2024 and you're making another Bad Boys with him.
Yeah.
Life is kind of crazy amazing. And how did you get involved with CSI? How did that first start with you on the TV front, Jerry?
Somebody came into our office, our development people for our company.
Yeah.
You got to meet this writer. And he walks in and he pitches his story and he walks back and forth and he's sweaty. And he was so engaging. And he actually was in a motel room at a crime scene.
Yeah.
Because he was doing a ride-along. And he's walking around the motel room, and all of a sudden he sees a hand come out from under the bed. Apparently the perpetrator who committed the murder was still in the room.
Oh.
And he ran out screaming.
Wow.
But he tells these stories, and we pitched it to every network, and everybody passed. And we went to CBS as the last hope. And Nina Tassel, who was running CBS at the time, said, I'll buy it. She bought it right in the room. And then we got stuck on Friday night, which is a death knell usually for new series. And Les Moonves said, no, we're putting on a Thursday night. And then it became a huge success.
And this is with William Peterson and Mark Helgenberger.
And then we did the original. Two others. In fact, three others.
Well, I'm very well aware of the CSI Miami one, for sure. And Caruso, was that your handpicked guy?
He's, a force. He's a real force.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, and were you the one who told him that the putting the glasses on to deliver the line was better than taking them off and delivering the line?
I think he figured that out himself.
Okay, he did that himself.
Yeah.
And we noticed that for sure. Yeah, and CSI Vegas, we had Paula Newsom on Monday. That's the end of that run for now. See, that's the other thing, too, is the number. And I know this sounds naive. I don't care. Jerry Bruckheimer here on the Rich Eisen Show. People tell you no. Like, you go into a room. Honestly. Like,
all the time.
Do you ever just, like, walk in with your resume and just place it on the desk and just say that the stacks that you've made?
There's always a Harvard graduate who knows more than any of us. And he's going to change the motion picture and television business. And that's what you deal with.
Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done?
No.
You're better than that,
you
right?
Just keep doing it.
Oh, I mean, clearly you are. I mean, again, Beverly Hills Cop. Who's back in there? Is everybody back in there?
Everybody's
this
back.
You got everyone back?
Everybody's back.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I can't wait.
The tailpipe, too, and the banana and everything like that? We're doing that?
We can't talk about that.
Okay, we can't talk about it? Okay. I can't wait for that.
Jerry's also mission critical, Rich. So
yeah,
we can.
Yeah. Tonight, the NFL schedule is getting released, and they made me sign an NDA so I wouldn't release it to anybody. They called me a mission critical employee, and I just thought that sounds like something that you would make something called mission critical. You know what
that
I mean?
I like that.
Yeah, it's about the release of paperwork, Jerry. I don't know if there's
anything. That's not good. We'll put it to something else.
That's a pass. Damn it. We're not making mission critical.
He told you
no. NFL schedule : mission critical. Like I don't.
He said he'll put it on something else.
Okay.
So,
I like the title. We'll use it.
Mission critical.
Yeah, that's a great title.
Like the Maverick sequel.
There you go.
Arias Kassar.
Yeah, mission critical. Right. Maverick's next. He's mission critical.
That's what I mean.
It does have a certain ring to it. Right?
I love it.
Fantastic. Young Woman in the Sea. What else is? Because last time you were here, you're like, I've got this movie about a swimmer who's the first woman to swim the English Channel. Now you're here to promote that movie.
Right.
What else you got?
We're filming an F1 movie right now with Brad Pitt. With the same director, Joe Kaczynski, who did Top Gun, and the same writer, Aaron Kruger. So it's an inside look into the F1 world. We become, there are 10 teams, right, with two drivers on each team.
Yeah.
We're the 11th team. And we are actually working very closely with F1. We have our car on the grid. We're not actually in the race, but we pretend we're in the race.
Sure.
All the 20 drivers are participating in the movie.
So there's like cameos of actual F1 drivers?
Yes.
Where'd you shoot it? Is it in Miami? Did you shoot it in there?
No, we're at the last half of the season, which starts in Silverstone and goes through Abu Dhabi. In fact, we just got back from Abu Dhabi. We spent 2 weeks there filming.
With Brad Pitt?
With Brad Pitt.
Is he actually driving? What do you got for me?
He's actually driving.
Of course he is, because he's Brad friggin' Pitt.
Totally and he loves that. It. He trained for 4 months in these cars, and we had Mercedes build the shell, designed by our director and Mercedes.
Right.
It's over an F2 body, and the thing is a rocket. It goes 200 miles an hour.
Well, F1's popularity is
crazy,
off the charts.
Crazy,
right?
It's crazy.
How are you enjoying with the Kraken? Before I let you go, how are you enjoying that?
I love it. We didn't have a good season this year. We didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
But it's so much fun. It's like making a movie. You know, we put this thing together. I was the originator with David Bonderman, who decided we're going to do this, and we trudged through it for like 8 years and got it done.
Right.
Got the league to approve us and. David put up a lot of money with some other investors, and we have a team, and we almost made the playoffs. We made the playoffs last year.
Right.
And, you know, it's building it from the ground up the right way.
Do you have anything in producing the Winter Classic?
No.
You had nothing to do with it? Just went as a spectator? Were you there, or you weren't able to make it?
No, I was filming somewhere.
Of course you were. Okay.
I was gone 200 days last year.
My goodness. Well, I'm glad that we were able to fit the show into your schedule.
Well, for you, always.
Thank you, Jerry Bruckheimer. I will take that and run with it. Again, everybody should go see Young Woman and the Sea, available in theaters on May 31st, starring Daisy Ridley and a terrific cast. I'm glad somebody said yes to this to you, because this is a great story that folks should hear about. And certainly in this Olympic year, the 100th anniversary of Trudy Ederle actually competing in the Olympics in Paris prior to negotiating the English Channel successfully. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Please come back anytime.
Thank you.
You bet. That is Jerry Bruckheimer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with more in a moment. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on our program, Game Time Tickets. Get the mobile app, place it on a device near you, and start buying tickets to any event that's out there. Sports, music, comedy, theater, and so much more. Certainly basketball tickets. If you are in the area of any of these games tonight, you got your C's tonight, right, Chris?
C's wrap it up tonight.
Boston wrapping it up. So make sure if you're in Boston to get the tickets tonight because the Celtics are wrapping things up. Game Time Tickets is available for you. So make sure that you take the guesswork completely out of buying tickets with Game Time. You download the app and then you start buying tickets. And don't forget to use our promo code of Rich. You get $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, to get that app. Put it on your phone, mobile device, and then use my promo code of RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Game Time Tickets makes it so much easier for you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program.
Jerry Bruckheimer.
That was fun, right?
Man. Oh, that was awesome.
He didn't stutter when I said, name me the name of an actor or actress who was relatively unknown or it hadn't had much going on in their filmography that showed up in your office that did a great job in an audition, like that's a star, and he just didn't stutter. He said Will Smith.
Yeah.
It's one of those things when I ask a question like that, I sometimes reveal the premise, then I draw out the question a little bit longer so they can think in their head, yeah, and then ask for an answer. And then sometimes I'll get like, which is the best thing? That's a great question. I always like being told that.
You really do.
It's great. That's great. That means I'm doing my job. Because,
yeah,
exactly. Again, for an interview like that, not to go full Rome here to tell you what I do and ask you to tell me that I'm great.
Rich, that was hilarious.
No.
What a great interview.
Listen, no, in all seriousness, it's my job. Like, there's no doubt that man has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of stories relevant to pop culture that would make everybody go, tell me more, right?
You could do a whole 3 hours with him.
And you can't just say, tell me a good story. You got to pull it out. And it's my job to find the one to pull it out, you know? And so I place a lot of pressure on myself in those situations.
Rich, you did a great job.
Thank you. It makes me feel better.
Yeah. Also, we may have... maybe named his next movie? Yeah,
Mission Critical?
Mission Critical.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, there's already Mission.
Guys, I wish
impossible.
Speaking of stories, I could tell you, spin-off. I could tell you so much about the schedule right now.
But you won't.
Like,
so.
I do know the opponent for the Chiefs in week 3.
Who is that?
Oh, Rich.
To see if he'll sleep.
Like, I do know, and we've been talking about it for like 2-3 days. Like, now that we know who the first two are, that third one is kind of important.
Can you give us their primary color?
I cannot.
You could.
I will not. I have an NDA, seriously, right here seven more hours left on it.
Because no one in the history of paperwork has ever broken an NDA. Yeah.
Does the NDA mention not mentioning team colors? Because I don't think it does.
No, I'm not going to do
Super
it.
Bowl. What's
I won't do it.
What about area codes?
Can't do it.
Can we say, like, speaking numbers?
I wouldn't even know what it is.
Celebrity fans.
Oh, you wouldn't know
that's
what it is.
That's a game
there.
Celebrity fans.
Does the team's primary airport have rocking chairs?
What are you talking about?
Which the Charlotte airport has rocking chairs.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's a great airport.
It's rocking.
It's really huge. By the way.
Really great food court. And then they have white rocking chairs all over the place so you can just sit down and relax.
You know how you refer to some of our guests as being sneaky tall? Like you don't right. think that they're that tall? Yeah. And like, wow, they're sneaky tall.
Yeah, we add them to the list.
That is a sneaky large airport.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Charlotte. Charlotte is
Well, NASCAR is based
huge.
There.
Chris, that's true. Like, that's true.
NASCAR is based.
Is their biggest celebrity fan
Why does that have to do with the size of the airport?
Because NASCAR, all the teams are there. They're constantly flying in and out of there from NASCAR.
Yeah.
So that's why you've got an airport that's bigger than you would normally think? What hell does that mean?
I'm just backing up Mike.
Thanks, Chris.
That's a good sports host.
Yeah. Just backing
am
up
I a
Mike.
Co-host?
Well, not with that take. No, you're going to get us demoted from co-host.
Do you want to talk about the PGA Championship since you're not here? What are you thinking? Are you really going to go Rory? Are you really going Rory?
Well, I am. I have to because the day that I don't and he does, then suddenly, where was I? You bailed.
Yeah, what was
So I always
for?
Have to stick with Rory. But did you see the breaking news yesterday about him?
What, his personal life?
Yeah.
What?
Kind of interesting timing and all of that.
What does that mean? What does that have to do with anything?
I don't
anything?
Know. He was wearing his wedding ring on Sunday when he won the previous week. And now suddenly Tuesday breaks, he's getting divorced. Kind of interesting.
What does that have to do with golf at all?
I think he's going to go nuclear now. Remember when Tiger post breakup all that? He just was like world beaters. I think this is a good thing.
Oh, my God. Or
singular focus.
Or
now.
A guy who is married and has his first child is going to come back.
Well, no,
to
hold
the
on
tour,
a second, Ridge. Remember?
And he's going to pick up exactly where he left off, and Scottie Scheffler is going to dominate.
It's been a while since,
I will take Scottie.
You've had a newborn. But remember the couple of days in the hospital? You're sleeping in the most uncomfortable chairs on earth.
So?
This guy is like, his back is probably all screwed up. He's like not sleeping at all. I think Scottie missed cut.
Excuse me.
Missed cut.
The dumbest
but He's not going to win.
Missed cut.
And new baby stuff, man. No sleep. His schedule's all thrown off.
How did Rudy go barefoot in those chairs in the hospital? Think about
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Is that off. Why? Is that why Jokic is now just dominating him?
Yep. Rudy should just not play.
I don't know, man.
PGA is going to be awesome. It's a great venue. Valhalla in Kentucky there is amazing.
Yes.
A lot of great storylines. Jordan Spieth has been struggling. He can win and complete the Grand Slam before Rory finishes because we know Rory's still waiting on the Masters win. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler, we got a lot of live guys in the field this year. Brooks Koepka, your defending champion. Can he maintain that majors dominance? John Rahm hasn't won yet on live, but has played, you know, above average, but not to John Rahm's standards that we're used to seeing. He won the Masters last year. I think it's going to be an outstanding event. Really, really excited. Weather is going to be a factor. Could be a little wet. Might have some rounds kind of bleed into the next day. So keep an eye on all that. But Rory is going to win, and I'm calling my shot right now.
I'll take Scottie Scheffler to do it again. And he's going to do it for the kid.
That would be like his 38th win this season.
He's going to do it for the kid.
Back-to-back majors.
He's going to do it for the kid.
Nobody's won the first two majors to start a season since Spieth in 2015.
Guess who's going to do
it? So obviously that would be a huge start.
Scottie Scheffler's going to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
Is that your guarantee?
I just remember.
I mean, you're an idiot for betting against Scheffler right now. But
I remember.
I
remember my first shows on game day morning after Xander was born. I was locked in.
I remember those.
I was locked in.
Rich.
Honestly, I read the prompter like it was. the top of an eye chart.
You came.
Can we get more comfortable chairs in hospitals? Like, come on, what are we doing? Think of the dads.
Look at this guy.
Think of the dads. You know what I mean? Think of the dads out there.
Any hospital. Any room.
Sure,
I mean,
Chris. Let's get more comfortable.
By
the way, when did you go full Harrison Butker on me, man? This guy over there.
Really,
all of a sudden.
Really
you know, he
not
did
nice.
His role.
That's not nice.
Don't go full Butker on the Rich Eisen Show. Please don't. Still here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm just kidding. They are uncomfortable.
They are.
Let me just say this.
Go ahead and say it, Rich.
Harrison Butker, to say he went wide right is not even remotely close. Harrison, buddy, I to say what he said to a group of soon to be professional women graduating, that you may have some great titles coming up. Didn't mention how successful a professional his mom was. To say to everybody there, your titles and all this stuff that you've been diabolically lied to, and, you know, wait till you find your vocation of being a mom and a homemaker. Listen, being a mom and a homemaker has a remarkable standing in anybody's lives, if that is what you do with your life, the importance that you do that. But to basically say to a bunch of people in the room who are excited to become professionals that you can't do both, or you shouldn't do both, or it's, you're being lied to that you can do both in service of what the man in your life needs from you, is absolutely bonkers and wrong and, you know, beyond the pale to say that at a convocation. Wide right, Harrison Butker. Wow.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.